Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, with plenty of notes on this three-game sweep at the hands of the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Savannah Bananas, in Denver at Coors Field. Craziness ensued. I will detail that. And of course, the opening weekend, the first three games for Kyle Karros. What was that like for him? Now, going into Friday night, Rockies started a stretch of 17 straight days with a game, their longest such stretch without an off day this season. And the start, not great with the three consecutive losses. Rockies now have a seven-game losing streak, their first one of this magnitude since late June. But they go to St. Louis for three, then they're back home against these same Diamondbacks for four, Dodgers for four, and then they go to Pittsburgh for three. After that, they get an off day on August 25th, then another absolute gauntlet of games. Three at Houston, back home for Cubs, Giants, San Diego, then on the road, Dodgers and Padres for the final time. It's why Colorado has the second most difficult schedule remaining in all of baseball. Right now at 30 and 87. Yes, they were at 30 and 80 seven games ago. Now they're probably going to lose 100 before they can even win 40 games. It's a pretty easy bet. But their pace with this 256 baseball that they have so far for this season, 42 and 120. So right now they're on 120 loss pace. Still overall, you know that they've played better under Warren Schaefer, but when you have a seven-game losing streak like this and with the run differentials that it's been, you look and say, well, maybe this is that same team. They've been able to fight back and get into some games that they had no right in getting back into, and they had some, you know, strong stretches of play. But if you're going to wait to play a team that is really bad, you're going to have to wait a couple series until you get the Pirates. Doesn't mean you can't, you know, maybe break a series with the Diamondbacks, you know, this weekend coming up, maybe. But if you're looking at winning another series, that's going to be hard. And honestly, all they got to do is go 1-3. If you go 1-3 the rest of the way, you are going to avoid losing 121 or losing 122 to take the record unto yourself. Now, the weekend started with five transactions, two of them more noticeable than others, but Kyle Karros has his contract selected from AAA, added to the 40-man roster. He's given the number 12, last worn by Sean Bouchard. Aaron Shunk, his contract was also selected because Orlando Arcia goes on the 10-day IL with a right elbow inflammation. And then Tyro Estrada with his hamstring strain, not looking good for him returning this season, 60-day IL. And then to create room on the 40-man roster, two moves. Estrada was one, going to 60-day IL. That creates room on the 40-man roster. But righty Angel Chivigi added to the restricted list. Why is he restricted? We still do not know reasons in the past for why players have gotten on the restricted list. It can be as simple as passport issues. A player declines to play. I don't know. I don't see that happening for Angel. Suspensions. Or it simply could be for a personal matter that is just being kept private. If you remember last year, Yu Darvish went on the restricted list and there was a family issue. That's it. So More likely than not, that's what I'm going to guess what it is, but we still don't have that information just yet. The youth was really on display in Arizona. Unfortunately, that youth loses three games in a row. But Karros becomes the 17th player this season for the Rockies, age 24 or younger, to play a game in the past two seasons, and the 11th, age 23 or younger, over these past two campaigns. Colorado now has an average age of 27 on the nose. Only the White Sox and Marlins are younger right now. I guess that's a good thing. You're not winning ball games, but at least they're young. They're learning. I think there's something positive there. It's certainly more positive than if they were the third oldest team. They're the third youngest? Okay, that's something. According to Blake Street Banner, make sure you're following everything that they do on the website, the podcast, and the YouTube channel. Friday night's batting order, credit to them. Credit to Blake Street Banner. They did the math. The batting order 1 through 9 had an average age of 24.77 years of age. So we're looking at under 25 years old was the average age of the starting lineup. It was the youngest lineup in baseball on Friday. 12 of Colorado's 14 position players this weekend. Yes, they are carrying 14 position players instead of the 13 and 13 they typically do. That has to do with needing a starting pitcher. I'll talk about who's going to make that start on Monday in St. Louis, but it allowed them to be a little bit more flexible, carry three catchers, which is something that they've been doing. But 12 of 14 of their 14 position players and 21 of their 26 active roster players have less than 4 full years of service time. Again, suggesting that better days are ahead. Sunday was not a good day. Colorado loses 13-6. Tanner Gordon, 4 2/3 innings pitch, couldn't get out of the fifth. Ryan Rollison could barely get out of the fifth. Gordon gives up 12 hits, 10 runs, didn't walk anyone, struck out 6. But in the bottom of the fifth, all 9 Diamondbacks had a base hit. In fact, 9 in a row, 9 straight hits, all with 2 outs. In fact, the first 11 runs of this game came with 2 outs. Arizona doing it in the clutch with 2 outs. Top of the sixth, Rockies tried to, fight back that thing that they typically have been able to do, even if it is, not beneficial to the outcome. But still, you don't want to just take it sitting down. You've got to be able to fight back. They did. They had a little rally going. Runners on first and second with 1 out, but the life gets sucked out of that rally with a wild pitch by former Rocky, Jalen Beeks, that easily ended up kicking off the backstop, goes right to James McCann, fires down to third. Yankiel Fernandez ruled safe, but the instant replay gets him as being out. The broadcast made a big deal of that ball kicking back. It's just luck. It happens. For me, the bigger issue was that Yankiel again showed some poor mechanics on his slide. If you remember last weekend, he was safe. His foot touched the bag, and then he popped up off the bag. The tag was held on him, so he was ruled out on Sunday. It really looked like he beat the throw, but his feet didn't get to the bag directly. So he was ruled out, and that killed any kind of rally they were hoping to get back. Props to Connor Kizer of the Diamondbacks, the ex-Rocky, who had 3 games as a big leaguer coming into this season. He gets, finally, his first big league hit. You saw him say thank you to the second base umpire if you're watching the game on TV. You saw home plate umpire John Tumpane, a.k.a. the Ripper, the way he emphatically will call a strike 3 on a batter who doesn't lift the bat off of his shoulder. Very iconic, very notable. Mickey Moniak was batting leadoff in this game on Sunday. Freeman getting the day off. Moniak, the only starter, in fact, without a base hit in this contest. Schaefer still mixing and matching to keep everybody sharp. Offense put together a lot of hits, 16, one shy of the Diamondbacks. 6 different Rockies had multiple hits on Sunday. But again, far from enough on the run scoring side. Doyle did homer. He does so in back-to-back games, reaching double digits in the process. He now has 10 dingers. How about Saturday? It was 6-5 walk-off loss. Rough. Now, Bradley Blaylock started this game. Wasn't great. Also, couldn't finish the fifth inning. Comes out after 4 2/3 of innings of work. 7 hits, 5 runs. Walks 3. Strikes out 4. He had a 4-1 lead going into the third, unfortunately. Gave that back Rockies were able to score one in the top of the sixth after the Diamondbacks took a 5-4 lead in the bottom of the fifth. So again, you see that fight. So they tie it 5-5. They battled. Not enough. Jimmy Hergett gives up the walk-off to Lourdes Gurriel Jr. You saw Dugan Darnell with an inning and a third scoreless frame of work. 2.84 ERA for the 28-year-old rookie so far. On Friday, 6-1 loss. The lone run came on a Kyle Karros RBI single in the second inning. That was his first MLB at-bat. First Rocky to do that since Corey Dickerson back on June 22nd, 2013. First Rocky to record an RBI in their debut since Hunter Goodman did so in Baltimore, August 27th, 2023. Yet another RBI for Kyle Karros on Sunday. In fact, you had two on Sunday in his two-hit game. And before he made the final out of Sunday's contest, he was batting 400, 4 for 10 with two doubles, two walks, three RBI, and an 1100 OPS in his first weekend in the majors. Good for him. Got a lot more thoughts coming up on Kyle Karros. In Friday's game, Austin Gomber tossed a season-high six innings. It was his first six innings outing since last September. But he does allow six runs, all of which were earned, including three in the first. We're seeing a trend where the opposing team has got the dirt on the Rocky starter. Is it the planning that's going into this? It could also just simply be the talent, and not even just the talent of a Gomber or Senzatella, but the coupled talent of the Rocky starting pitcher and the opposing team. And when one side is maybe below average and the other side is above average, it's going to make for a rough, rough day. Gomber falls to 0-6 on the season. Had to look this up. Had to do some research. Patty Stats, digging into Baseball Reference and Stathead. At 0-6 right now, Austin Gomber is currently tied for the most losses in a season in franchise history without earning a win. Tanner Gordon tied that mark last year, 0-6. Johan Flande, personal favorite. Everyone who listens to the Rockies Insider has been listening to me for 5+ years now. You know my affinity for Johan Flande. So I'm glad he still holds the franchise mark. I don't know if he's going to keep it much longer, but 0-6 in 2014. Roy Oswalt was 0-6 in 2013. And the first man to do it, Scott Ellerton, was 0-6 in 2004. I also recall that last season, Dakota Hudson started 0-6. Before winning a game in his next decision, he would ultimately finish at 2-12, which made me want to crunch some more numbers. What's the worst winning percentage for a pitcher in Rockies history? I did a minimum 10 decisions. Well, for a reliever, it's actually the second for a pitcher, but worst for a reliever, Sean Chacon, 1-9 back in 2004. And worst overall starter, reliever, you name it, John Thompson in 1999 went 1-10. So right now, tied for number three, just third overall for worst win-loss record, tying with Dakota Hudson's 2-12 record is, yeah, Kyle Freeland, who's also 2-12. If Freeland were to top Thompson's win-loss record, he would have to tie it, he'd have to go 2-20. So he'd have to lose his next eight starts or lose his next nine starts. And I just don't think that that's happening. I don't know that there's going to be enough starts for Kyle Freeland. I think the Rockies are going to very much be hesitant in allowing, for lack of a better term, Freeland or anyone to get to 20 losses. You'll find a way to work around something like that. You know, even if it's just getting to 19, 19 still not great, but sometimes those round numbers like that can be meaningful. And in this case, it would be in a very bad way. So it'll be interesting to see, because right now I think Freeland is currently at 21 starts, and we saw his last start get pushed back just by a day. Not a big deal. But so far, 21 starts. You know, the most he's ever made in a season was 33 in 2018, but he was taking the ball every 5 days. Since then, 2022, he had 31 starts. So is there that chance for 10 more starts? I think potentially. And especially when you consider the fact that Colorado's starting pitching depth is not great right now, they might not have any choice. And for Kyle Freeland, he's going out there knowing, like, I don't want this hung on me, man. And you got to go out there. You got to show up. That was something Bud Black said a lot in his, you know, final days. We didn't know it was his final days, but that's something he said a lot, was this idea that, like, we got to go out there and we've got to play. We can't hide from this. Warren Schaefer said this a lot too. In fact, Warren Schaefer, correction, he said it a lot more. He's been a lot more honest, and he was a lot more honest brutally in the early days. Now they're playing better, and so, you know, you're not hearing those same general comments, especially when you consider the fact that when you look at this roster, you know, how many of them should you really stick a 120 loss season potentially on? Like, are you're blaming Jordan Beck in his first full season in the majors? No, of course not. So there's so much new blood currently on this roster, and even some of the older blood, you know, how much is it their fault? So, you know, Schaefer doing a good job protecting his player. So I think Freeland is going to relish this opportunity to avoid 20 in the right way, not getting, you know, pulled or not getting scratched, you know, a couple times to try to tamp that number down. But I think he's going to take the ball. It might be something worth having a conversation with him about this next homestand. Now, I will say on Friday, the bullpen did look good. Two scoreless innings, one from Juan Mejia, who I think he had a scoreless outing also on Saturday, but his road ERA has been crazy good. I think 3 earned runs and a little over 20 innings. So he's been fantastic. Hasn't allowed a home run in 23 consecutive relief outings. Longest streak by a Rockies reliever this season. He has been a pleasant surprise. Nick Anderson, scoreless on Friday. Scoreless in 3 straight appearances, in fact. You saw another double on Friday from Warming Bernabeu. He had another double on Sunday. 3 for 13 this weekend. Pair doubles, RBI. Only 1 strikeout as the league begins to learn how to pitch to him. And I think the answer is inside, preferably like at his chest, at his torso. He seems to swing a lot at baseballs right at his body. That's become a thing for him. The Diamondbacks, in their post-game notes, I particularly like this. The first line of the notes said, roof closed. You think it's 112 degrees out? Come on. The attendance, I was shocked for the first 2 games. Sunday was only 24,000 in Phoenix, but Friday was 29,000. Okay, that was a Corbin Carroll bobblehead. But on Saturday, 38,000. I was shocked by that. And if you want some more attendance numbers, how about the Savannah Bananas? That's right. They were at Coors Field this weekend. I talked about it on the last pod. Saturday at 7:10, same time as the Broncos game. So I imagine, you know, there wasn't a ton of people watching this, the Bananas on ESPN. I didn't think much of it because I know that the Bananas had a deal with ESPN to televise some of their games. But this game was on ESPN as part of their 50 states in 50 days. And if you can recall back a couple weeks ago when ESPN went to New Mexico, they broadcast a Albuquerque Isotopes game from Albuquerque. And yet they're in Denver. They go to Colorado, but it's not for the Rockies. It's for a team originally located in South Carolina. That's just adding insult to injury. It just is. But attendance, 50,000. For Saturday, I believe it was also 50,000 on Sunday. From everything I saw, it was just absolutely bonkers. And now I'd pitched a lot of different golden batters for them to have, from Todd Helton, Troy Tulowitzki, all the legends, right? But then you also have some Denver area former ball players like Tim Tebow with the Broncos, and then later in the minors with the Mets. How about Deion Sanders? CU Boulder. He's a big leaguer. And we didn't get any of those, but we did get 2, technically. We got a golden batter, officially, Vinny Castilla. Awesome to see him. He looked great. But also, you had a golden pitcher. That's right. Ubaldo Jimenez came back to Coors Field, faced 1 batter. I think some of his children had never seen him play, so that was just awesome. Peyton Manning was in the building on Saturday, was in the dugout thanking Bananas for taking a photograph with his kids. And it's, you know, after the game, they said how surreal it was. Like, Peyton Manning is thanking me? That's crazy. Carell Prime, did not realize this. Some of you might remember this name. If you're a real hardcore, you know Carell Prime. believe he was the 2014 Organizational Player of the Year for the Rockies, was a guy that, you know, put up some decent numbers. I think Double A was really where the jump might have been a little bit too much, but was a guy that was, you know, top 30 prospect, top 20 prospect, didn't pan out, but he's playing first base for the Bananas. So I'm glad that he was finally able to make his Coors Field debut. That's really, really special. On Sunday, Kelsey Whitmore from Team USA Baseball, she pitched on Sunday. In the past, she's pitched professionally with the Sonoma Stompers, Staten Island Ferry Hawks, and then last year she was with the Oakland Ballers. So I believe she would be the first female to ever pitch at Coors Field. On the same day, we had the first female ever be the home plate umpire, Jen Powell, down in Atlanta. It was great that Jen was able to do the doubleheader on Saturday as well. That just was just an all-around feel-good game, feel-good moment. Really, really beautiful, really special. But the Bananas really turned out Coors Field. You know, the merch lines were crazy from everything I saw. Folks were walking around the concourse a lot. It looked jam-packed, like you couldn't move. Not like a Rockies game where people do want to sit down. They do want to relax a little bit, look at the scoreboard, be on their phone. People were exploring Coors Field, and they knew that once you get in your seat, you're going to stay there for like 2.5 hours. You're not going to move. You're not going to want to move. So might as well walk on the concourse now while you have the chance. They had special branding on the popcorn boxes and collectible cups. I think on Saturday, they scored 31 runs, and according to their records, that was the most ever they had in a banana ball game. And maybe the best part, maybe not, was that this game was under 2 hours. 31 runs in 2 hours. They did a Blucifer race in Atlanta. If you've ever seen Beat the Freeze, someone gets a head start, and then the freeze takes them down on the warning track and outruns them. They did that, but with Blucifer being the super fast and agile runner. Coach Rack, of course, had his backflip catch. There's a couple fan catches, which, if you know in banana ball, if you know there are 7 rules, I want to say, if a fan catches a ball in the air, that's an out. So there was a few of those, believe it or not. So impressive. I think a lot of folks had a really, really good time. And it's nice because the Rockies just weren't having a good time. All right, let's get talking about this St. Louis series and the probable starters doing battle with Nolan Arenado and Garrett Hampson. Once again, we've got a 5:45 start time on Monday and Tuesday. Monday, it's going to be Miles Michaelis against Chase Dolander. That's right. Now, his last outing was August 5th. And if you actually were to go over to the Albuquerque Isotopes website, because from all my sources, it was going to be Dolander. And yet on the website, it had Chase Dolander as the starting pitcher for the Isotopes. And are they just not updating the site? I don't know. And sure enough, they just didn't update the site. So it will be Chase Dolander on Monday for his first time back with Colorado since that start against the White Sox on July 6th. Numbers in the minors weren't really that great. He did work at the lab on a couple things, so he's as ready as ever. This will just be another learning experience for him. Excited to see him back out there on Monday at 5:45, Tuesday at 5:45. Kyle Freeland against another lefty, Matthew Liberatore. And then on Wednesday, it's baseball and brunch at 12:15. Lefty Austin Gomber against righty Michael McGreevy. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons, MLB, and the Rockies Insider over on YouTube. Appreciate you dropping by and giving me some wonderful momentum. But unfortunately, that momentum is only as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.